Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
In the studio with me is Jennifer. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're here. And on the phone, we've got Cindy Karn. Cindy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, perfect.
Good morning, everybody.
It's working. Yay. I give mad props to Mike here in the studio, making all the buttons work and the mics, and we can hear each other, and that's great. So, all right. So our topic this morning on Ag Matters Radio is kind of twofold. We're going to hear about what I believe is the only Alaskan bioshelter. Cindy's going to tell us all about what that means. And Jennifer's going to talk to us about an upcoming permaculture design course. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So Cindy, you are coming to us live from Alaska's only, is that true? Are you in Alaska's only bioshelter?
Yeah? It's the only bioshelter, depending on how you define bioshelter. This is the only house that recycles all its water and its waste.
Okay, so is that kind of the running definition of what a bioshelter is?
You know, some people are changing it into more of a greenhouse type of a thing. So you might see books on bioshelters, but I think we're the only people that are naturally cleaning our water and re-drinking it.
Okay.
With the use of filters.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So are you also then... where is your water coming from? Like, are you capturing rainwater, or do you have a well, or where does the water start?
Exactly. It comes on the roof. We have a special roof with a special lining, and so it's the whole house is built like a body, so you have to kind of pretend you're a body. You take in water, and our water comes in from the roof from melt and rain.
Okay.
And it comes in, and it goes through we have a green space in the front of our house, actually. It's a whole wetland system. So it runs through the wetlands, and the plants clean the nitrogen or whatever might be in the water, and then it runs into our cistern.
Wow.
So are there pictures
of this on your website, Cindy?
You know, I think so on alaskabioshelter.com, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'm gonna stop you for a second just because I forgot to do what I love to do when I first start my show is hear a little bit more of the background about my guests, and it's particularly your relationship to Alaska and or your relationship to Alaskan agriculture. So I'm gonna turn to Jennifer and ask her to tell us, you know, what brought you to Alaska, how long have you been here, and since this show is called Ag Matters and you're going to talk to us about a permaculture design course, tell us about your connection to agriculture also.
I've been in Alaska since 2007.
Okay.
I had wanted to come here my entire life. Actually, it was my father's dream, and then I followed that dream. I worked for a big corporation, and they paid for me to move here, I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah.
I want to put that out there. and I have a master's degree in environmental policy and natural resource management, which is more suited towards oil type of industry.
Okay.
I decided that wasn't the route I wanted to go, and I was kind of in limbo of where I was going to end up.
Yeah.
So I became a master gardener.
Oh, okay.
Took some food preservation courses, and then
the gateway drug.
It is the gateway. And then I found permaculture.
Okay.
And now I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I'm wrapped in.
Okay.
I decided to get my advanced certification in permaculture teaching this past year in British Columbia. And now I have a business, Seeds and Soil Organics, where I teach permaculture gardening at low cost to anybody who's interested and anyone who will listen.
Okay.
And we grow a lot of food at home.
Yeah. Awesome. And what about you, Cindy? Tell us a little bit more about your background in Alaska and food production.
Right. So I grew up pre-pipeline in Fairbanks. Well, maybe during the pipeline, which was before and after, right at that critical moment.
Okay.
And, we were growing in Alaska 50% of our stuff at that time, and importing 50%. And now we're importing 98%. So anyway, as I looked at that change from before and after the pipeline, I finished my 20 years of teaching, And I was making a pretty big difference in the classroom, but I knew that I could teach Alaskans more about sustainability. So I, when we moved to Anchorage, this house was for sale, and it was too expensive. And so I pulled some strings, and finally we got to move in. That's another whole long story. But
but so someone else had this bio-shelter vision before you.
Oh, yeah, Bob Crosby built it.
Okay.
Yeah, in 1985. It got a national award. And so it's a pretty famous house.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah, so when we moved here, I got to live here, and it took me a year or 2 years to learn the systems of the house and how it worked, and I had to take everything apart, put it back together. And then I was like, wow, people need to come and see this.
Yeah.
So then I started doing tours, and then I figured out what I was really doing was permaculture. And in 2010, there was the first permaculture course in the state. I took it in Homer. And then I've been teaching permaculture ever since then, too. So it's just the house brought me to permaculture, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So go ahead, Cindy, and jump right back into that first system that you were telling us about
okay.
with the water. So
right.
comes off
so
the roof, goes through the wetland, gets cleaned up a little bit by the plants naturally.
Right, and then it goes down into the cistern. When we turn on the faucet, our water goes through the drain, of course, after we take a shower or whatever, and then it goes into three barrels in the basement that biologically clean the water. We have little microbes, bacteria in there eating all whatever comes down the drain.
Okay.
And so they're the ones that make sure that we're able to live here. But just in case, we have another check valve thing on the system, and that is when the water comes up out of the three barrels, it goes into our fish pond in the solarium. And if the fish die, we've used the wrong shampoo. So we did kill the fish twice.
Oh, and see, that was going to be a question. Like, what if a guest comes and brings some, you know, toxic...
Yeah.
I mean, like, I assume you talk to your guests about, you can't bring
exactly.
your own shampoo and toothpaste to my house. Is
exactly.
that, does that
That's
really happen?
Exactly. We have to use our stuff. That's
okay.
exactly part of the deal.
Yeah.
So then it, from the fish pond, then it goes back into the wetlands and goes back into the cistern again. So it's a complete cycle, and that's a pretty good definition of what permaculture is you take everything and you use it but return it back into the system.
Okay, and so we've had kind of a wet, rainy summer by some accounts. So how does that affect your system? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Or does that change
well,
the system at all?
I tell you what, I'd rather pour water down the side of the mountain than doing what I had to do last year, and that was go to Eagle River and get water.
Okay.
So this year it's been fine, but the last two summers before that, we've had to go get water, and that's just unheard of. In this house for the last, since it was built, nobody's ever run out of water. But of course, we have a greenhouse and we have an orchard and we have a potato garden. So we have increased all the different places
demands.
That we need
yeah.
water in this house as opposed to when it was first built.
So, and tell us again, Cindy, where you're located. Where is this amazing award-winning house?
2 miles or 3 miles from the Nature Center out in the Eagle River Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's south-facing. The only windows we have are south-facing, and it's buried into the side of the mountain, so we kind of live in a cave with windows.
Okay.
But that allows us, this is the other part of the whole system that he designed, is that the ground stays at 38 degrees, so we only have to heat our house from 38 up.
Oh, wow.
And when most people have to heat it, you know, for the rest of it. And yeah. and all the best way to collect passive solar, is through water. And so we collect all that sun in the summer, and we really don't have to turn on the furnace until November. Well, depending on the you know, winter.
Sure.
So October maybe is maybe the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
But we also then recycle all our waste. So we have three barrels in the basement under where our toilet is. So we have an indoor outhouse, basically. And
okay.
We have worms eating everything that goes down our toilet. And everything that goes down is not only our waste, our human waste, but all our food scraps, all our junk mail, all our cardboard, all our everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything that's not plastic goes down the toilet.
Wow.
And then we leave it down there, the worms eat everything, and then after 2 years, just to make sure that everything is absolutely dead, that could hurt us, you know, we throw it on the garden.
Yeah.
So it's basically a worm poop, because when we empty it out, if there's any alive worm, then we're a little bit, you know, afraid.
Okay.
So we leave it out a little bit longer, because the worms should have been dead. All the food should be gone for them. So,
yeah,
so that's recycling all our waste. So we hardly go to, if we stopped buying plastic, and that's a real challenge, we wouldn't have to go to the dump.
Wow. Well, folks, if you just tuned in this morning, you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your guest, Amy Pettit, and in studio with me, I've got Jennifer, and on the phone, I've got Cindy, and we're talking about the Alaskan Bioshelter, and we're going to jump into more details about permaculture design. So, Cindy, I think whenever people talk about composting, capturing waste, these types of discussions, I think everyone's first question is, does it stink? So does your closed system or your basement, like, does it stink?
Well, you know, it depending on your age, or maybe it's depending on where you live. I don't know. There are some kids that come here, college kids, tours. Some of them have to put something over their nose, but it's not the human waste that stinks. It's the dead bodies of the bacteria. So, we have company one day, and we have a lot of bacteria eating, and then the next day they don't get enough food, they die.
Oh, okay.
And that's what smells. But we take those dead bodies once a year and take them out, and we put those on the garden too. It's really good fertilizer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So if folks wanna learn more, because I'm sure anyone who's listening is just super interested in more information about this, or coming on one of your tours, coming to see the house. So tell us where people can learn more about the bioshelter.
Well, you can for sure go to alaskapermaculture.com, but that tells you more about permaculture, because this house is an example of permaculture. It's a living system. And we're going to tour it as part of the course coming up. But you can also go to alaskabioshelter.com and see some pictures and try to get things. I have to be honest in that we're building a sauna this summer, and we're going to try to do it out of cordwood. And so I've been spending a lot of time on the cordwood sauna not a lot on my website.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the basics are there, I'm sure. And
because
such an interesting topic. And, you know, I mean, in other parts of the country, I think some of this water capturing and, you know, managing your waste, I think in other parts of the country, it's much more common and it's not so unique. But here in Alaska, you know, I don't think as many people are doing it, but I'm thrilled that you're out there kind of leading the charge and telling people how to do it. So, Jennifer, let's jump into the permaculture design course that's coming up, and you and Cindy can kind of tell us more about that.
Super exciting. Permaculture is, by definition, permanent agriculture.
Okay.
It's much more vast than that. But basically, we're looking towards building systems that take care of themselves, that less work for us, the natural system takes over. In Alaska, especially in our cold climate, we have a little bit more of a challenge than in other areas, especially with compost, seeing it to completion, the types of crops that we can grow, the water systems that we have, water catchment.
Yeah.
So we look to permaculture to give us solutions to those complex problems.
Okay.
Exciting in the fact that this year is the first year that it will be an all-Alaskan teaching team.
Oh, okay.
And as Cindy had noted, she's been teaching permaculture design courses for quite some time, and now...
So it's a bunch of her alumni are gathering in the room to teach other people. Is that right?
Yay.
Yeah.
So having Alaskans teaching Alaskans, and I think this is why it's such an exciting course this year, is that we all have experience and living in this cold climate, beautiful climate, and we want to show our community, you can do this. This is something we can do, and we can do it all together.
Yeah. So what is the course itself? Is this a one day in a classroom? Is this, you know, a 2-week workshop? Give us some more details about the course itself.
It is a 72-hour course, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That sounds serious.
It is.
That's like someone describing a bad labor. 72 hours. What?
72 hours over 5 weekends.
Okay.
Starting in October, ending in March.
Okay.
The class starts at 7 p.m. on Friday and then ends at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And oh, okay. Yes, all
so you're captive somewhere.
Yeah, you're captive. You cannot leave in Anchorage.
Okay.
At Jupiter Garden, which is like a homestead and a forest-like setting within the city of Anchorage.
Oh, wow.
It's just a beautiful place to have
a
course.
Heard of that. I'll have to check it out.
It's an eco retreat for sure.
Oh.
I would definitely say that.
You learn something new on the radio all the time. An eco retreat exists in Anchorage, Jupiter Garden. Fascinating.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And all the meals are included.
Okay.
So organic, hopefully mostly Alaskan grown or
yeah.
Alaskan harvested meals.
Yeah.
We do have a cook that will
wow.
prep everything for us. When my permaculture design course, the food was actually like one of the highlights.
Oh,
big highlights.
Great.
They're
yeah.
just delicious. And we're going to learn a lot of things, a variety of topics
okay.
over these 72 hours that we're going to share together.
So is it lecture based and or, you know, PowerPoints or because, I mean, it's over the course of the winter. So I would imagine you're not, you know, hands in the dirt as much, right?
Not so much hands in the dirt, definitely on field trips, going to see permaculture in practice without Alaska, because there are Alaskans that are putting this into play. They're living this life.
Yeah.
So we are going to go and check out what everybody else is doing. It's a mix of things. There is lecture, there's fun, there's games, there's PowerPoints, there's movies. It's just the gamut. I mean, there is so much we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we make it fun.
Yeah. How do people learn more if they want to look at costs or, you know, check their schedule and see if it fits? Where do they go to learn more about the course that's coming up?
AlaskaPermaculture.com.
Okay.
Also, the Alaska Cold Climate Permaculture Institute Facebook page.
Okay.
Ooh, I'll take
yeah.
a breath after that. And we have flyers that are posted throughout South Central. Anybody can contact Cindy or I if they have questions, if they think, hey, this may not be right for us, they can reach out to us. Any student that I've talked to that I even participated with, they look to permaculture. It changes your life.
Okay.
I look at my life differently. I look at nature differently. I look at the world differently.
Yeah. Wow. I'm highly intrigued. You know, I've been hearing about these permaculture design courses for quite a few years because Cindy and I's paths have crossed for quite a while now. And I'm totally interested, you know, and I'm finally getting to that point where my kids are old enough that I can, you know, give up time on the weekends.
Oh, Amy.
I know.
Great.
I know. I've got a little taste of the bug. So we'll see if I can possibly make things work this winter. But is it limited space or, I mean, do you have just a few spots left? If people are interested, should they jump on it right away? Is there a deadline coming up or?
To get a good deal, August 31st would be the date to sign up by. And
okay.
you're saving about $200 by registering by August 31st.
Okay.
After that, folks can still register. We do have a cap. We're getting close to that.
Okay.
So I encourage people to register today.
Okay.
Cindy is amazing at making sure everybody gets what they need. So if we reach that cap, I'm sure we'll figure something out for
okay.
sure.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So folks should, you know, check out the permaculture design website, Facebook page. Say that Facebook group again.
Alaska Cold Climate Permaculture Institute.
Okay. We'll get that linked on the radio posting on our Alaska Farmland Trust page as well, just so folks can find it easier. If you're just tuning in, I want to remind folks once again that this is Ag Matters Radio on Wednesday morning. You're listening live, and I've got Cindy on the phone and Jennifer here in studio with me. We're talking about the Alaskan Bioshelter and Permaculture Design course coming up. So about 2/3 of our time is already up, ladies. So what else do you want to tell us about before we're done this morning? Cindy?
Okay, thank you. yeah, I guess what I want to do is just make sure people understand what permaculture is. Jennifer did a good job. I usually, when people kind of look at me cross-eyed, I'm sitting down at the market, so they're like, why?
Yeah, what permanent agriculture?
I know, right?
What does that mean?
The short and sweet I've been saying is we're teaching people how to live in Alaska before 1970.
Okay.
So how do you live here? Be sustainable. I'm not so sure that we were sustainable back in the day, but
right.
how do you set up a system? Not just go up and say, oh, today I want to throw up a post system. And you don't have any thought into where it should go or how it should be or whatever. This course helps you, and you'll be designing your own property. So you can figure out the system that you want to put in place, and you'll actually draw it.
Okay.
So you'll have a map, and that map will stay with your house and your property as long as the property exists. You'll just pass that on to the next owner.
Yeah.
Because we're designing for the seventh generation. We're not designing for us, really. We're thinking about, okay, what does this property need, and how can we enable the people who live here to live off the land sustainably?
Yeah. So does that mean, Cindy, that if a person lives in an apartment in Anchorage, that this course is not for them? Or is there something to learn regardless of the scale of your home?
Thanks for that question.
Yeah.
We have a member of our Permaculture Guild who is growing 400 pounds of food on his balcony, on his deck in Anchorage before May 31st.
Whoa.
I know, right? So, we're talking about urban, we're talking about suburban, and we're talking about rural farmers. We had Joel Salatin here earlier this summer,
yeah,
talking about how to do it big scale. So I think we'll probably do, depending on who shows up, if a bunch of farmers show up, then we're going to do lots of large scale stuff.
Sure.
So we'll just take it, and maybe that we have to do a little bit of everything, which that's my preference anyway.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
Definitely what I'm hearing you say is that permaculture is scalable, whether you have a backyard or an acre or a tiny little deck.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So, and the other cool thing is that we're picking a project to do as a class. And there's been some buzz about an urban farm in Anchorage, 3rd and Gamble, at the old Alaska Native Hospital site.
Right.
So we may be helping design for that.
Oh,
or
wow.
I also have a meeting at the Lusac Library. They want to convert some of their lawns to edible landscaping and helping the homeless. So we may be designing for Lusac Library. So we're going to pick, usually we pick some place that needs a design for free,
yeah,
and help them out. So I'm looking forward to either one of those. Those are going to be great.
Yeah, I just was in a meeting yesterday with Liz Snyder from the Alaska Food Policy Council, and she had mentioned that 3rd and Gamble property and the potential that the city's interested and the property owner is interested in perhaps expanding community garden space or, you know, just making for different opportunities. So that's outstanding. So if you, and this is a totally unfair question for both of you, Jennifer, you answer it first. If there was one takeaway from attending a permaculture design class, like what do you think is the one major takeaway when you've been through the class?
Oh,
I told you unfair question.
That was totally unfair. And I narrowed it down to three. Now you want me to do one. Is community.
Okay.
Alaska can sometimes feel isolated and remote. And I know that a lot of people feel like they don't have a sense of community. In a permaculture design course, that's what we're building. We're building community not only for the students, the participants, but then we're reaching out to other people and saying, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah.
Let's be sustainable. Let's be regenerative. Let's work together for the common goal. We all want the same thing.
Sure.
and that is what permaculture provides us. So community is number one for me.
Okay. Cindy, what do you think?
Well, she stole mine. I was going to say the same thing.
I have notes to prove mine.
Right. Well, and I just want to add to that then and say that a couple people have taken the course twice.
Okay.
Just to meet the whole next group and be part of the newer community. And those community members then build into the Anchorage Permaculture Guild. And there may be one forming in the valley with Jennifer's leadership out there. Okay. We had one going, and then people, you know, if you don't keep having the courses there, it's kind of hard to keep the continuity going. But, so we get together twice a month, and we have potlucks and we talk about what's working and what the challenges are lately, and the state of the world is always a wait and see. The end of every month on a Friday at a place that serves alcohol. Talk about the state of the world, because that's a common concern with permaculture. There has to be, you have to realize what the problems are.
Sure.
Look at the patterns of those problems and try to come up with what nature would do to solve those problems. So it's a very interesting discussion always on those last Fridays.
Oh, I bet. Well, I'm really captivated by the idea that when you do these plans for a property, that you're thinking about the seventh generation. Because, of course, with Alaska Farmland Trust, the work that we do is about thinking about our food future, right? But I don't even think that in our strategic planning, we're thinking about the next generation. We're thinking about the transition of property from one owner to the next, but we don't even talk that far out. Seven generations. I mean, that's real stuff.
It is real stuff. And one of our huge problems as Americans and in this culture is that our buildings, our houses, are only built to last 50 years.
Right.
So that's why I'm here at the bioshelter. We built a straw clay greenhouse, and that, in Europe, they've been doing that for thousands of years.
Right.
And you just take out the piece of straw clay that's wet or whatever's wrong with it, take it out and put new whatever needs to be done to it and wet the stuff and put it back into the wall. So natural building is a huge part of permaculture as well, because these buildings that we live in, they're not going to last.
Right. What another aha moment for me. That's so true. I grew up in a home on the Southern Oregon coast that the first piece of the house was built in 1890. And
yeah.
The second part of the house was built in 1910. It has lasted. I mean, we obviously had to do some remodeling and some things along the way, but
right.
But it was built very, very differently than homes are today.
Exactly.
Huh.
And we import so much.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out with my natural building stuff here, how to build houses where we're not importing 98% of the stuff. How
right.
do we find the stuff here and build with it?
Yeah. Wow. So this has just been a really, really fascinating show. Jennifer and Cindy, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to come in and be my guests on Ag Matters, where we've been talking about the Alaskan Bioshelter and the big topic of permaculture design. I hope folks will take the time to check out the website and look at the course, consider attending the course this winter. And again, this has been Ag Matters Radio. I'm your guest. I always want to call myself the guest. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and we're live here in Palmer at the Radio Free Palmer Studio. And thanks so much, ladies, for being on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting us.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.